Morning, everyone. My name's Bryson, and I hope you've kept your Bible or your Bible app open to those few verses. I'm going to spend a few moments focusing in on them. Let me firstly pray, though. Father God, help us now to understand your word well. Help me to be clear-minded. Help all of us to be shaped by what you say to us. Amen. I don't know whether you've ever thought much about it, but we really are walking advertisements for loads of different things, whether we realise it or not. And I'm not actually talking about being a literal walking billboard like in the picture, and which seems to be a thing in Sydney nowadays. What I mean is just by virtue of being who we are, we just quite naturally promote things to each other. For example, I have now known Tristan long enough that I am beginning to seriously wonder if I should start shopping at Aldi after all, simply because of the number of times I've overheard him say how good they are. The other week, Jason and the family came over for dinner. All of them came. It was before Arthur and Billy went off to uni. And as Sue and I were seeing them off the premises, and I was watching all seven of them pile into the one car, I honestly caught myself thinking, wow, those Holden Captiva cars really are more deceptive about how roomy they must be. I wonder if we should get one because of the accumulating grandkids we're getting. And you see, sometimes we don't even have to say anything. Just by what people notice, the car we drive, where we get groceries, logos on our clothing, things we get enthusiastic about, our lives just advertise certain things. I wonder what your life advertises. In this morning's Bible reading, the Apostle Paul wants the Philippians to be an advertisement for Jesus. And he wants them to be a really good one. Because did you notice how the reading started? Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know, and we'll get to hear what he wants to know in a minute. But can you see what's being said there? He wants the Philippians to live a life worthy of the gospel so that whether or not he even gets to visit them, he will still be aware just by word of mouth that the Philippians are a showcase for the worth of the gospel, a spotlight onto how precious and important and powerful the news of Jesus is. He wants them to be the talk of the region, walking advertisements for Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if Morning Church was like that? Imagine if we were the talk of the town for how wonderful Jesus is. Jesus deserves us to be. And this passage helps us to be. Because the way this morning's reading fits together is that after firstly telling the Philippians to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, after firstly stating that command, Paul then unpacks it with three examples of how to do it. Do this by doing these. That's pretty much the logic flow. Starting with that upfront, overarching, do this command that we just read. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, that opening phrase, whatever happens, that's not so much whatever happens to the Philippians, it's whatever happens to Paul. Because this is flowing straight out of where we left things off last Sunday in the previous verses. Remember, Tristan helped us appreciate how the Apostle Paul viewed everything through Jesus-shaped glasses. And even in tough situations, whether he was in prison, whether he was getting a hard time from his opponents, whether or not he even lived. Jesus was the measure of all things as far as Paul was concerned, and that enabled Paul to see blessings even in difficult situations. And so this morning, after 26 verses so far of Paul describing his life living for Jesus, he now turns to the Philippians and calls on them to do the same. We've reached the very first point in the letter where he tells them to do anything. And he basically says, look, whatever happens to me, whether I'm in prison or not, whether I live or not, you need to do this one thing. You also conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And please don't misunderstand the tone of this, because he's not putting a guilt trip on them here. He's not pointing the finger and saying, oh, you guys, you better live up. You better get your life together and start living a life worthy of the gospel. That's not the vibe at all. It's far more compelling than that. He's just wanting to open their eyes to the incredible privilege of living this way. I think you can see it because strictly speaking, where the NIV says there, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, strictly speaking, Paul says, conduct yourselves as worthy citizens of the gospel. If you've got an ESV, it probably has that as a footnote down the bottom of the page. Live as worthy citizens of the gospel, which is a phrase that would have resonated very strongly with the Philippians. Because you see, Philippi was a colony of Rome, which was a very impressive honour to have. Being a colony of Rome meant that the citizens of Philippi were no less than citizens of Rome herself, with all the benefits that went along with that. It's a bit like our modern day embassies. As I understand it, when you walk into the American embassy in Canberra, you are actually coming under American law and American protection. You may be physically in the middle of Canberra, but in another very real sense, you are in America, in that embassy. And that's what it was like with Philippi and Rome. You live in Philippi, you're living in Rome. It was a little outpost of Rome. It was a little mini homeland of Rome. And they were so proud of it. And so Paul, in this verse, is saying, tapping into that thinking, live not as citizens of Rome, but of the gospel. In other words, open your eyes to the amazing dimension that you are an embassy for the kingdom of God. Don't be fooled by what you see around the world that's decaying away. As the church of God, you are a little outpost of the new heavens and the new earth. And Paul says, live the sort of life that reflects that. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And notice that the phrase is worthy of the gospel, not deserving of the gospel. Because Paul wants to avoid any misunderstanding that they need to do something to earn the good news of Jesus. Because that would be the exact opposite of what the good news of Jesus is. The good news of Jesus is not that we have to get our act together so that our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds and God will give us the thumbs up and let us into eternal life. Being a Christian is understanding that we aren't good enough to deserve a life with God no matter how hard we try. But the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, we can have a fresh start with God because he loves us. And out of Jesus' willingness to be punished instead of us, through his death on the cross. It's amazing what Jesus does for us. And the news about him is extraordinarily wonderful. And Paul says to the Philippians, live in such a way as to showcase that. Live in a manner that puts the spotlight squarely on the great worth of the gospel. How? Well, this is where Paul now starts to unpack things with three concrete examples. By doing these. The first of which is standing firm. Let me take it from the top again. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit. The image here is of the Philippians planting their feet and bracing themselves, like against a strong wind, so they don't get blown over. You know, like on the news when there's wild weather happening somewhere and for some reason the reporters always feel the need to stand outside in the wind and the rain to give their report. And sometimes you can really see them. They're just struggling to even stay upright. Paul wants the Philippians to doggedly stay upright. Brace themselves to not topple backwards. What do you think might help you not topple backwards from the gospel? That'd be a good thing to talk about over morning tea. But a couple of weeks ago, back when that cyclone tore through Western Australia, the news showed all the trees being blown over simply because their roots didn't go down deep enough. How deep do your roots go down into the gospel? Do you ever make the effort to read deep into the Bible? You know, with the mind fully engaged, commentaries open, cross-referencing verses, chasing up topics online or in books? Or do you just tend to superficially skate through on the surface of the Bible? Friends of ours went through the mind-numbing grief of losing their first child to meningitis on his first birthday. Cannot begin to imagine it. Grant said that the thing that got him through it with his faith intact was doctrine. Reading deep into the Bible so as to know Jesus well, in all his grandeur, in all Jesus' goodness, in all Jesus' power. It put down roots that held Grant firm when the storm hit. Paul writes to the Philippians and says, stand firm. Have deep roots into the message of Jesus. In fact, more than that, verse 27 again, stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. This is now something a little different. This is more active now. This is not bracing against the wind. Striving is step by step walking into it. This is getting on the front foot to defend the gospel, promote the gospel. This is fighting for the news about Jesus. This is contending for the news about Jesus. This is contesting and grappling for it. The word Paul actually uses here was commonly used to describe the contest that used to happen with the gladiators. So if you've ever seen the movie Gladiator, back in the day with Russell Crowe, wrestling and struggling to prevail. There's a more recent one out now. Maybe you've seen that one. That's what Paul's got in mind here. A life worthy of the gospel is one where we struggle and we contest with all our energy because the news of Jesus deserves to be seen for what it is. It's the words of eternal life. It's the power of God for salvation. This is the way we get reconnected with God. Strive for that, Paul says. When friends are making fun of Christianity, speak up for Jesus. When people are saying things which reflect that they think Christianity is all about morality and keeping rules instead of what it is, Jesus and forgiveness, seize the moment to explain that. Even if it's just something to say, you know, I'm not sure that's really right about Christianity. Hey, why don't you come along to church sometime and hear what it really is? And not in a confronting, aggressive way, as we'll see next Sunday. That's certainly not the style that Paul's talking about here. But at the same time, let's not be apologetic about following Jesus. Let's not be intimidated away from speaking up for him. In fact, given what Paul goes on to say in the later verses, the Philippians may have specially needed to hear that, because in verse 28, he urges them to not be frightened and he talks about them being opposed. In verse 29, he mentions suffering. In verse 30, he speaks of them going through the same struggle as he had, which is a reference to how he was thrown in prison when he was there. Now, small group this week will be a great chance to spend more time in those latter verses. But for our purposes this morning, it's again sounding like the Philippians, they're going through a tough season. And Paul is urging them, guys, hang in there. No, actually, don't just hang in there. Keep striving for advances in the gospel. As Jason helped us think about a couple of weeks ago at the very beginning of the letter, when difficulties come, don't lean out, lean in. Paul's urging the same. Lean into the wind and step by step, keep making advances, striving for the gospel, standing firm in the gospel. And thirdly, being united in the gospel. Because did you notice back in our reading the emphasis on being unified in all of this? I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Hear that emphasis on the oneness? Look, in some ways, it's almost the most important one because it's underpinning the other two. Because how do we expect to stand firm? How do we expect to effectively make advances if disunity and quarrelling is continually undermining our efforts? I mean, what sort of witness is a church that is constantly bickering and fighting and gossiping amongst themselves? I know of one church that split over what colour to paint one of the walls in their building. They became the laughingstock of the community. As people rightly said, man, if that's what being part of a church is, you can count me out. And I reckon God would have wept. Paul says to the Philippians, don't ever let that be you. Stand firm in one spirit. Strive together as one. Because who Jesus is, the news of him is so sensationally wonderful. It just galvanizes us together. Now we're going to have a lot more to say, that, well, we could say much more about that, but that's exactly what the rest of the letter is going to go on and do. Because the way the rest of Philippians works is that Paul is now going to take each of these three ways of conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, standing firm in it, striving for it, being united in it. Paul is now going to take each one of those three truths, one at a time, and he's going to keep weaving them in and out for the entire rest of the letter. And so because we're going to return to them and we're going to keep reading more and more about standing and striving and unity, this morning I'd just like to finish by returning to that big overarching command, the all-encompassing call to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, the energizing call. Open our eyes. See ourselves for who we are, citizens, not of Rome or Bathurst or Australia, the kingdom of God. And to realise the extraordinary privilege of being a church family that is actually an outpost of the new heavens and the new earth. And to feel the anticipation of what God might do if we were to actually live in a way that showcased that. A while back, a friend of ours was telling Sue and I about a new school that she was teaching at, not here in Bathurst, this is in Sydney, but our friend was saying how awful it was. The students were disinterested, disruptive, most of the staff were the same, gossiping about each other, putting in the bare minimum, playing the system to make themselves look good. Except for one person who stood out a mile. He wasn't crude, went out of his way to help, didn't blame other people when things went wrong, cared for his students, kept his word. And as our friend was telling us about him, she said, "I don't know for sure, but I reckon he's a Christian." It just shows. Turns out he was. And imagine a church full of people like that, all out in the community this week, at schools, at work, down the shops, at sport, in a craft group, volunteering for organisations, all shaped with Jesus-shaped lives, all living out the citizenship of being in the new heavens and the new earth. Imagine the advertisement that would be for Jesus. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let me pray. Father, we are utterly humbled and thankful for who we are because of Jesus. Father, we deserve nothing from you, and yet you have blessed us so enormously. Citizens of your kingdom, members of your family. Father, help us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Amen.